Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and blessings and greetings, blessed souls. This is Don Josie Woodman, and we're live because we want to stay alive. And Torah Chaim, instructions of life, Torah Chesed, instructions of kindness, Torah Rachamim, instructions of mercy. This happens to be the 60th class of Soul class, number 60. Soul being an acronym for S7O, original, oldest, U, universal. El Laws, and we're just going to call on bring in our co-host tonight, Yehuda Levy. Let's just see if we can pull him in. Reb Yehuda, is that you?
Yes, it is.
Shalom. Yehuda, before we get into the meat of the show, I just want to read off the introduction to our show. That this is a class called Soul Class, which normally we emphasize the seven Noahic commandments, Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, which are not primarily seven units connections which were originally commanded to Noah and his three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, which one can learn about in Genesis 9, in verses 1 through 17, and them being precisely, number one, not to blaspheme the name of the Most High with the not to blaspheme the Most High with his name. Number two, not to commit acts of idolatry. Number three, not to commit acts of premeditated murder. Number four, not to commit acts of adultery. Number five, not to steal. Number six, not to eat the limb of an animal that's still alive. Number seven, to raise up righteous statutes and judgments and ordinances in every land of this blessed creation, in order that the other six commandments previously mentioned should be enforceable, as well as mitzvahs which are incumbent upon the human race to accept upon themselves commandments which are agreeable to the human intellect, rooted in the Tzelem Elokim, divine image of the human soul and human body condition. But tonight, blessed souls, we're joined by Torah student and activist Yehuda Ben Levy, and namely because we want to share some teachings from a sage and Rav of Israel you might not have heard of. His name was Rav Yosef Chaim, son of Yitzhak, also known as the Chacham Yosef Chaim, who is known as the Ben Ishai, son of a living man, who lived in Baghdad, Babylonia, which is now called in the 21st century as Iraq. Rav Yosef, Chacham Yosef Chaim, lived from 1834 and went to the next level of life in 1909. So some tips of the iceberg of his Torah wisdom we hope to share with you, blessed souls, whether you be of the blessed children of Israel or the blessed children of Noah, because in Rav Moshe Wiener's seminal work, The Divine Code, which elaborates the seven Noahic commandments, although we'll be talking about subjects that normally the children of Noah are not commanded directly to follow, if they wish to learn about the virtues of the Torah of the Israel, as we Israelites learn it, then hopefully that will inspire them to go deeper into the mitzvahs that are relevant to them, and to better understand the nation of Israel as we understand ourselves within the context of our holy Torah. So some tips of the iceberg of the wisdom of the Ben Ishchai we hope to share with you, blessed souls. So please join your friendly cyberspace neighbor Torah activist, myself, Don Zuse Goodman, again being joined with co-host, Torah student, actress Yehuda Ben Levy, as we explore the Torah perspectives of the Ben Ishchai. The only requirement is you possess a divine image. If you are human, then you qualify. And please see Genesis 1:27. Yehuda, how are you doing tonight?
All right, first of all, I have to apologize. I did tell you that I thought that the father of Yosef Chaim, who we known as the Ben Ishchai, Zikron L'Shalom, his name is Eliyahu, Chacham Eliyahu Chaim.
You're right.
So we just want to clear that mistake up. I apologize for that.
You know what? Go ahead.
No. I could start off with telling you about Yosef Chaim. He's mm-hmm. later called the Ben Ishchai, was after his famous work written called the Ben Ishchai. It was so popular during the time that he was known for it. They dubbed him the name after his own works. So that's how he acquired the name the Benish Chai. His works, his halakhot, by the way, are considered by the most Sephardim, the Sephardim version of the Shulchan Aruch, the Kishur Shulchan Aruch, I should say. The Sephardic version of the Kishur Shulchan Aruch, because even though his laws cover both the Sephardic Minhagim, they also incorporate at that time, especially that particular area of Baghdad, we call it Bavli, the also the Ashkenazim Minhagim, and his halakha and the ruling was based on both sides. So it was a very intensive work that he put together, but very concise at the same time. And, here we have him today as the, you have to forgive me, I'm nervous. So today we have his halakhot, as most Sephardim would call it, the Sephardim Kisur Shulchan Aruch.
Very beautiful. Yeah, I thank you for correcting me, because actually I did a little research before the show that his father was, in fact, Chacham Eliyahu Chaim, who was the son of Chacham Moshe Chaim.
Right.
Interesting, you know, in the Ashkenazic European Torah leadership world, we usually call the person Rav or Rabbi. In the Sephardic or Middle Eastern community, the leader, the spiritual leader, was called Chacham, which means basically wise person or wise one. So I just want to mention. Now, Yehuda, I read about a very seminal point in the Benish Chai's life when actually a miracle happened to him when he fell into a deep pit in the courtyard of his home while playing with his sister. Are you familiar with this?
I've heard of it, but I haven't heard of it. I mean, I heard of it, but I don't remember the story very well. Maybe you could remind me, and I can probably illuminate on that.
At the age of seven, Dan, a very young, not Chacham Yosef Chaim, but, you know, it's Yosef Chaim, the son of his father, who was the leader, the spiritual leader of the Jewish community in Baghdad, was playing with his sister, and there was a courtyard back of the house. I'm sorry, a courtyard in front of his house, and he fell into a deep pit. And at that point, he had made a resolution that if he were to survive that precarious situation, that he would devote himself to the rest of his life in the study of Torah. And it turned out he was saved. The particular circumstances on how he was saved, I'm not sure of. But as a young boy, it was already noticed of him that he would spend many hours absorbing Torah from the books in his father's extensive library. And then he would eventually go to a Jewish seminary in Baghdad that was run by the Rav Abdullah Somech.
Right.
It's very interesting that back then, Abdullah, in today's world, we would assume that the name Abdullah is a name usually reserved for our cousins, the Ishmaelites, the Arabs.
Right, right.
Even back then, that this Abdullah was the name of actually a rabbi. So I just thought that would be very, very interesting. Also, I do know that Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, Olav HaShalom, who the great Sephardic, one of the former chief Sephardic rabbis in Eretz Yisrael, who passed away last summer, was actually, I believe, from the family of the Benish Chai, and he made a remark many years ago, which I read in a magazine called Kfar Chabad, about the Benish Chai and his ability to bring various sources in his halachic responses from actually Admor Azakin, the Alter Rebbe, the first Admor or Rebbe of the Chabad Lubavitch movement. And Rav Mordechai Eliyahu of HaShalom interpreted the action of the Benish Chai of doing that was to actually bring the different communities, the Ashkenazic and Sephardic communities together,
right,
to show that true Torah, it doesn't matter whether a person is Sephardic or Ashkenazic, if the person has the sources and the ability to learn the Torah properly, then certainly we should quote them as viable sources in the proud and eternal tradition we have as the nation of Israel,
right,
transmitting not just the written Torah, but the oral Torah. Would
Absolutely.
You like to elaborate on that?
Yes, well, I want to go back on his childhood stories. I have another one to share with you. One of Yosef Chaim's phenomenal qualities was obvious when I was told that when he was at four years old. And they were actually going over the Peshat in Bereshit when Hashem was looking for Adam. And it was after they had partaken of the fruit of the tree, and they hid themselves. So his father was asking Yosef Chaim, could you please elaborate on this particular Peshat? Where Yosef Chaim replied that the word Echa means where are you, the first word there, Echa, were acronyms of I know all your secrets. And at that particular point, it was apparent to Eliyahu Chaim, Yosef Chaim's father, the Chacham, that Yosef Chaim had special, special qualities and looking into the Torah and pulling its meaning out in more than one level. And when I speak of more than one level, we know that the Peshat level is the basic literal interpretation of Torah. But at the age of at four, he was actually able to bring up the interpretation of the Rosh Prop, of Pardes, from Pardes, he went from Peshat and went up to Derush, which is another way of translating the Torah in like a more of a homiletic type of interpretation of the Torah. So it was not surprising that Yosef had these qualities, being that Yosef was considered a miracle child. He was Chacham Eliyahu Chaim had problems having children until he got a letter from another famous rabbi from Morocco. I don't know if anybody knows of this particular rabbi, but this rabbi that lived in Morocco is known as Chacham or Rabbi Yaakov Abu Hazara. just to give you an idea, this is a great Kabbalistic rabbi who lived in Morocco, who also has a family that is very well recognized in the Eastern, and even now today in secular, believe it or not, I've heard his name been spoken of in secular Jewish population. Because of the population of Kabbalah now. But this, he sent a letter to Chacham Eliyahu, notifying him that he will have a child. But not only did he have Yosef Chaim was not the only child, he also had a sister. When Yosef Chaim was eight, there was during the Moshiach Shabbat for the Habdalah lighting, they were arguing over who shall hold the Habdalah light, the candle. And Eliyahu said, well, you should let your sister have it, but only in one condition you shall have it. If you can pretty much explain why you should hold it. All right? And you can explain the reason of the candle of the Habdalah, then I will let you hold the candle this time. Well, he said, sages say that the one has the capacity to discern more or have better understanding of the mitzvah, he should be the one to hold the light. But Chacham Eliyahu, his father, said, no, you have to explain better than this. The fact that you're just older, it's not good enough. Give me something else that we can rest assured that we will be fine with allowing you to hold it tonight. So he went on further. He says, well, recite the blessing over the aromatic herbs and light between the blessings over the wine, the blessings of Abdullah. Joseph answered, "You have taught me that a Jew must constantly strive to improve himself and go ever upwards. This can be illustrated by the order of blessing recited during Havdalah, which are over the sensory experiences related to the head." So he goes on further. First, we recite the blessing of the wine, which belongs to the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Then we recite a blessing over smell, which triggers spices, right, which belongs
right.
to the nose.
Mm-hmm.
The third blessing is of light, which is even more subtle than the sense of smell. Finally, we recite the blessing of Abdullah itself. It relates to the intellect, the highest faculty of them all. So he was able to give this Dvar at the age of 8. And that's when it was really recognized by Chacham Eliyahu Chaim, Yosef Chaim's father, that this son that he had was a special gift, not just to himself, but to the rest of the Jewish world.
Beautiful.
So I just wanted to add that part.
Mm-hmm. I would you know, as we talked before the show, and more than one occasion, that I personally have personal Hakar Satov. A sense of gratitude to the Ben Ish Chai, which, by the way, let's mention the listeners that tonight, actually, also we, the children of Israel, are recalling and celebrating and commemorating that tonight, Zayin Adar, is actually the day of not only the passing of the mighty Levite prophet Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses,
right.
who took us out of Egypt, who led us under the direction of the Most High out of Egypt to Mount Sinai to receive the 613 commandments. It's also the day of his birth. And also happens to be the 54th observation of actually the Yom Zikron, Day of Ascension of my great-grandmother, who I'm named after, Maras Dina Bas Avraham Rosenzweig. But with that being said, I want to mention my personal acknowledgement of gratitude to the Ben Ish Chai, that over 100 years ago, because he ascended, he was Niftar, Stalik, passed on in 1909, but before that he gave actually advice to my wife's great-grandmother, with her and her family in a caravan of 15 people, traveled from Baghdad and settled in Tzfas, Israel, and from there moved to Jerusalem, Yerushalayim. And eventually, over 20 years ago, I got to meet my wife, who was of that ancestry of family, who actually also related to Rabbi Yehuda Pataya, who is known to be the greatest student of the Ben Ish Chai. So that's another reason why I'm doing this show tonight with Yehuda Ben Levi. And I just, so, you know, the Ben Ish Chai brings many people together. Here he's bringing tonight Yehuda Ben Levi and myself, Don Yosef Goodman. So Yehuda, can you take us now into the world of halacha of the Ben Ish Chai a little bit more, according to
sure.
Sefer Ben Ish Chai, or ever, any other source you want to bring from the Venerable Ben Ish Chai?
Well, speaking of halacha, I just wanted to bring forth something that pretty much put him on the map. When he was 14 years old, he received a letter that was addressed to his father. From some of the Godolim in Yerushalayim.
Mm-hmm.
He pretty much glazed over the letter, and there was a minor problem that they needed someone to help render a halakhic decision. Well, he took it upon himself, decided to write the letter and respond to that letter. When he sent the letter back, the Rebbeim there were in full gratitude, and they were astonished at the wisdom that they received, assuming that the letter came from his father, Chacham Eliyahu.
Mm-hmm.
Soon after this letter, another letter came from Chacham Eliyahu's address. And they were a bit perplexed, but the ruling was identical to the ruling of the first letter. It was later on that they realized that it was actually Chacham Eliyahu's son, Yosef Chaim, the Ben Ish Chai, who gave the ruling. And he was only 14 at this time. So speaking of the Halakha, he became famous at this particular point in time with many inter-Jewish communities, from not just from Baghdad, but also in Yerushalayim. One of the things that I see with the Ben Ish Chai, like I said, is he includes the Halakha from many communities, his gift is not just mixing the Peshat level interpretation of the Torah, but the higher levels at the same time, including all the halakhot of the sages before him. And one of the things that I really, that sticks out on me is one of his halakhot on tefillin. He rules, essentially, that if someone is left-handed, like we know the halakhot of tefillin, if someone is left-handed, the right hand is the weaker arm. Therefore, they should tie tefillin onto the right-hand side. Then vice versa. However, the Ben Ish Chai, when he covers this, he pulls from different people. Eliyahu of Vilna, he pulls from the Moran, the Mechav Ziel, from Shamed Zibor. He pulls from different people, Yaakov, Zema. These are different halakha sources.
Mm-hmm.
One of the great things that I see, even though he ruled his personal opinion, that actually, no matter what side you use most, that the tefillin should be tied only on the left-hand side.
Hmm.
The reason why he said that, because of the Kabbalistic reason behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that on the left column is a column of judgment, and on the left side is also where your heart is. And so he pulls from the Peshat level and says that you should bind them and you should put them in your heart. Therefore, he says that the Yud Tefillin should be close to the heart. And so the box facing should be facing opposite the heart, towards the heart.
Mm-hmm.
So he says no matter what, and then on the Kabbalistic level, we bind the left side, and we bind the left side also because we will cover also the Peshat level, that you should bind them and you should put these words into your heart. Onto your heart is the word that he's using. So this is one of the difference for those who follow the halakha of the Ben Ish Chai. However, in the Ben Ish Chai, in the halakha of Ben Ish Chai Tefillin, he doesn't make his ruling absolute. It says that there are those who tie two tefillin on the arm, but he gives his ruling about the size of the tefillin. And he says, for those who continue to follow the rulings of others, you should follow those rulings. But this was his ruling after he exhausted all other rulings and decisions. So this is just one example of the Ben Ish Chai and his halakha that's a little different than what I would say the majority. And that you've tied the tefillin onto the left-hand side. So most of our deen will follow the Ben Ish Chai will tie the tefillin on the left-hand side, even though they're left-handed.
Wow, I was not aware of that. That's pretty fascinating. Now, I heard a story from... I have actually in our congregation in Crown Heights, we actually are probably... In American Chabad shuls, we're probably one of the few ones that actually have classes in Ben Ish Chai, which are given by Rabbi Yossi Baron. And a good friend of mine, Yecheskel Levi Chaim, is actually from Persia or Iran, which is the modern term. And he told me a story when I told him that we were going to try to do the show tonight, Yehuda, that, you know, several years ago we had an unfortunate event where one person who was fooled by the Yetzirah Jew was selling non-kosher meat to a certain Jewish community, and it was discovered. And many people had what was known as Nefilas Ruach, a falling of spirit. And what happened was, my friend told me that someone had discovered in learning the halachas of the Ben Ish Chai something which picked up the spirit of more than one family from that community. And it was basically the Ben Ish Chai wrote some sort of response, although I didn't learn it myself directly, perhaps you're familiar with it, that if a person is eating kosher, properly prepared for food, according to the Torah for an Israelite, their entire life, and by chance they eat something which is not kosher, b'shogeg, an accidental form, not intentional, that in the merit of them eating kosher food the whole life, their soul will not be damaged. And when my friend told me that individual had learned it, that halacha, and that person had been eating kosher their whole lives, they actually felt a renewed sense of hope that they actually can go on and not live with the blemish of having, you know, because many people, in fact very particular, with not only what comes out of their mouth in terms of their speech, but they're just as careful, if not more careful, what goes into their mouth. So
absolutely.
I found that to be a very, you know, sometimes people say be careful of what goes out of your mouth, and we definitely advocate that. We don't advocate, you know, slackness of tongue. But also we have to be very careful what goes into our tongue. But here the Ben Ish Chai brought out a halachic response. What goes into the mind, also we have to be careful. And certainly we do not have to worry about the kashrus of the teachings of the Ben Ish Chai, because now that his teachings have been around for well over 100 and, let's see, if you said he gave a response when he was 14, so basically almost the last 162, 163 years, we've been privileged in the creation to be privy to the insight, the deep insights of the Ben Ish Chai. We have about 3 minutes left. What else would you like to share with us about the Ben Ish Chai?
Well, it was the funniest thing. The Ben Ish Chai, like I said, pulled rulings from everyone. That's what made him unique. I think he was one of the first of the Akronim that had access to not just the Sephardic Minhagim, but to the Ashkenazi as well. His father, his grandfather, Moshe Chaim, was like that way as well. I think they share the same ruach of refining the Torah observances. So they pulled from the best rulings around the world. At that time, the Jewish community was getting smaller. So the Ashkenazim ruling, for example, the shochet or the shoktim knives were better qualities. So he got the community there of the Sephardim to get those knives and rule that the knives that they were using at a particular time were less superior than the Ashkenazim. There were many reforms that took place under the ruling of Ben Ish Chai, and his books were actually for the Kavod Yisrael, which to bring up the whole observancy of Yisrael as a whole. Where many books before then that were written by most Sephardic sages were more isolated to the ruling of the Minhagim of Sephardim. Ben Ish Chai actually amalgamated both Minhagim. So the books and his halakha are rich resources for all Jews everywhere. And they have the undercurrent of the high spiritual meanings find in Kabbalah. They're not just knowledge, but they are also refinement for not just for your body, but also for your soul. And it's very practical and concise and easy to understand. At the same time, complex. He attacks complex issues. So I just want to end with that. The Ben Ish Chai, I think, is an invaluable resource, and that anybody who has the opportunity to pick up some of his writings and his works, I think they should do so. I think it would be an excellent addition for your Torah study.
Beautiful. I'd like to thank my co-host, Yehuda. And maybe, Yehuda, I hope we will have time in the near future to continue this series on the Ben Ish Chai, literally the son of a living man. This is Dunzitz Goodman wishing everyone a beautiful night in the merit of the mighty Levite prophet Moshe Rabbeinu Moses. All of us should experience tonight Ahava Chad, one love, B'borei Echad, in the one Creator, B'dachi Nom, B'dachi Shom, in a peaceful and pleasant way, with the blessings of the Most High. Shabbat Shalom, everyone, and let's meet only in the best of circumstances, and we shall only hear good news. Thank you again, everyone. Laila Tov.
Laila Tov. Shabbat Shalom.